birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good.
But it's almost like when it said it was a new dawn, it's a new day, a new life, something just popped in there, and I'm just, goodness gracious. My name's Emilio, and welcome to the Thursday segment of the Paradise Circle. What an amazing feeling, what an amazing opportunity to be with each one of you. We are always together every couple weeks on alternating Sundays on Empowering Now Radio on Blog Talk, and also here on Elevate the Soul. Soon we will be switching it all over to Empowering the Now, because that's what's real. And I just want to welcome you to the show this evening. And if you don't have a copy of our free ebook, you can visit empoweringnow.com and click and join the email list and go to the Open Meetings tab and pick up a copy of the book. And there are also some other links that we'll pass on to you later. And if you're interested in calling in and bringing your voice into the mix, there's a couple options. One is 619-924-0817, and you press 1 on your keypad, or you can dial in at 646-564-9680. And that'll bring you to the same place, because this is only one place to be. So we like to start off the show with a feeling word and just kind of where we are, you are, I am. And right now I'm just sensing, which allows me to, I was just into that. And I was sensing where I was in my body, and I noticed that I could hear differently, and I noticed that I started listening deeper and more intently, and it's amazing what can be heard in silence. And I started hearing the vibration of a lot of different things, the fan, the vent, the clock upstairs, and then all of a sudden I could hear my heartbeat, and I could sense the energy pulsing through, and that causes me to feel real good. And so I'm excited about being with you. This is going to be an awesome and powerful evening. And so without any further ado, again, welcome to Paradise Circle, the Thursday segment. Let's check in with some family and see who we have with us tonight. I know Glenn is out there. Glenn, how you doing? What would be a feeling word, sir?
Feeling word. Relax.
All right. Relax, Glenn. It's a pleasure to have you. And Verena, I believe, is out there as well. Verena, how about you? And what would be a feeling word?
Energize.
Relaxed and energized. And I know Mr. Michael Wolf is there. Brother Michael, what would be a feeling word and check in for you?
Yeah, the key word is hallelujah. I feel this that song, hallelujah,
hallelujah,
just flowing with it. Glad to be with everybody.
All right. And Maha, how about you? Is there an amen in there somewhere? How you doing this evening? What would be a feeling word for you?
For me, it is compassion. I feel compassionate.
Amen. Compassion, feeling compassionate. And those of you who are out there, I'm feeling blessed. And so when you add all of that up and you say that we're feeling relaxed and energized and hallelujah, compassionate and blessed, there's no other way but to embrace this moment right now and welcome you to this moment, just to welcome you to this evening's broadcast, this evening's engagement, and trusting that you will join us. Welcome to the Paradise Circle. We're a gathering of ordinary people doing shadow work to come to know ourselves and solve everyday problems. Our inquiry is based on the idea that the word is alive and that language is where our power lives. Known as the path of expire, this inquiry is radical as it transmits the courage to fully surrender and, as such, the soul of perennial truths. Once received, we are in our voice, empowering the now. Each time we honestly engage in this unlearning, the cosmos rejoices. Each time we participate, we renew the understanding that there is only one of us. We thereby increase our capacity to love what is and to sustain the sense of enough. And, wow, that's just amazing. And if you're looking at the book, we're on page 3, and you notice that the weird spelling of paradise with the capital P, capital R, capital D, and S refers to four levels of communication whose synergy allows for the appreciation of being the living word as we authentically relate to self and other. And receiving is the meaning of the Hebrew word Kabbalah, spelled with a QK, Kabbalah. The Paradise Circle is sponsored by Empowering Now, LLC. And let me just touch base and see if this reading, page 3, the Paradise Circle, differently this evening, or if there's something that speaks to you right in this moment.
Well, this is Brian. I love the idea of the cosmos rejoicing.
And so, Verena, the idea of the cosmos rejoicing, how does that impact you? You love it? What speaks to you?
It touches me because often I get lost in my own belly button kind of a thing, you know? So to even imagine a cosmos is just gigantic. There's no way to describe it. And that it is rejoicing and I'm part of it is just very exciting.
Amen. So it's that whole appreciation and recognition that we are one, we're linked, and cosmos rejoices, therefore I rejoice, and we're here. And it's a pleasure being with you. Thank you for sharing. And there's a area code 512788 number that just joined us. If you'd like to check in and give a feeling word, say hello, you're more than welcome to, or you can remain silent. How about it? Welcome.
Hello, it's Belinda. I'm in Austin. Thank you for having me.
Amen. Did you say Belinda? Beautiful name. Thank you, Belinda. And what would be a feeling word for you right now? How are you feeling in this present moment?
Anxious.
I know the feeling, anxious. Well, let's... let's keep you engaged, anxious, because you've got compassion, you got hallelujah, you got energized, relaxed, and blessed with you. So nothing like a little balance with some anxiousness. And why don't we jump right in and trust that you have a copy of the material, the book. And I think I will start with the circle agreements. I was inclined to look at the Evolving Foundation. Let's go right to the agreements. And our agreements, would someone be willing to go through the agreements? Michael, how about starting off with the first three?
Sure. So we're talking about shadow work with the Paradise Circle, and shadow work is an invitation for us to empty the cup, even to break it, so as to Kabbalah, which is a Hebrew word, meaning receive. And what is it that we're here to receive? Wisdom, power. Here are our circle agreements. Number one, I trust us when the dark night of the soul moves me into fight, flight, freak, or freeze. I am here to risk entering the darkness so as to bring light on how my misusing power prevents the force from being with me. Number two, and I give myself, and I trust if there's an issue with permission, someone would speak up. Number two, I own my experience. I hear the use of you words as marks of my projections. And number three, growing pains, where I default to comfort places. I invite change. I invite being uneasy. I say amen to these, and if anyone has any questions or comments, back to you, Emilio.
Amen. So
amen.
Just in terms of amen, that's so in terms of what you're saying, these are the first three agreements that we all come through because we know that shadow work is just that. There's an uncovering, there's an opening up, there's some light that's exposed. There's something that comes up sometimes that I really didn't realize was there. So thank you, Michael, for setting those three, that there's, I give myself the permission and I own my experience. And I know there's some growing pains, and it's easy sometimes to bounce into the comfort place, but I want to invite that change and unease and be present with it. Maha, would you be so precious to comment and do the next three?
Totally happy to. And yes, I give me you permission. I own my experience. And I experience growing pains increasingly. Mm-hmm. That's the good news.
Amen.
The other good news is when I can remain present. Like I find that when something uncomfortable comes, I leave my body. So presence is to do my utmost to stay in my body and not go into a void dance. So would I say, would I hear yes to that from you?
Absolutely,
yes.
Yes.
Thank you. The fifth agreement is confidentiality by request. When I can't live with a wide open shame closet. And shame is a very interesting emotion. Maybe the most interesting, because when I go into shame, I feel so small and not enough, and I want to hide. And so confidentiality by request has actually two steps. One is to recognize that where I am, like it's okay to give me the possibility of confidentiality if there's any part that where I go into shame, it's okay to either remain silent, go into hiding, or if I spoke, to ask for confidentiality. And the big picture is ultimately I'm going to dance with shame and keep it open, keep that perspective of that which shames me perfectly visible, because that's when I have no shame. So may I hear yes to that?
Amen.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. And the last one is clearing space. So let's say that I would feel that, you know, Glenn is very silent, and I could say, well, you know, Glenn, I need to check my assumption. Is it something I said that had you become silent? Is it the tone of my voice? Is there something going on with you? So I would check my judgment when I think that something is off, and that allows the space for being clear. Again, may I hear yes to that?
Yes.
Yes.
Those are agreements, as shadow work can indeed be dicey.
Indeed, indeed. And Maha, something that really spoke to me in what you were saying, and I think I wanted to put it out there because oftentimes it's something that may be missed, and there's a container of acceptance and a container of love that speaks to and through the agreement for owning my own experience, but the confidentiality by request. And sometimes it's really difficult to understand that shame because I've been living with it all my life. And it is okay to, even if I don't have that sense right here in this particular place, to say, look, I heard what you were saying. I could feel it. I understood. It stirred something in me, and I just didn't want to say it there. On page 70, all of our contact numbers are right there. Just pick up the phone or email and just say, I was appreciative of your respect and confidentiality, but I would like to request a follow-up to understand a little bit more and to go a little bit further. And I wanted to put that out there because that's what's in my heart. And so thank you for sharing these agreements. And we find that these agreements are powerful for us as we play with the shadow work on an ongoing basis. It's amazing. So any other comments before we get into where we're going to go this evening? Any thoughts, comments from anyone? Hearing that. So this book, this Paradise Circle book, is such a powerful tool and a powerful piece. And if you tuned in before, you have heard us say that each page could be several books within one page. And the outline and the way this book has gone has been literally an introduction, and which took us up to roughly page 6 or 7. And then from page 7, we got into what was called the beginning. And that brought us down to our last time together with the Garden and Genius. And now we're getting ready to look into the specific 6 chapters that come forward, chapters in imagination. And on page 18, there's an outline of each one of these chapters. We're going to begin in this chapter, Psychobabble, tonight. But if you were to look at page 18, you would see this chapter that we're going into is Psychobabble. What if a global event wiped out some of our memory and left a gap in our knowledge of language's power? And it's more than a what if, but to go into understanding that some of my memory may have been wiped out and left a gap in my knowledge of language's power, and how do I fill that gap? And so this begins to bring us there. And the next chapter behind that is peace, and you can read that, and religion, and sentience, and one language, and globalism. But I wanted to set the stage for the psychobabble that we're getting ready to go into, and as we begin to now peel through chapter by chapter in the books. Any thoughts, Michael, Maha, Verena, anything else you want to add to that?
You know, what we're going to look at, the Twin Mission, page 20, and yes, it starts the psychobabble. It's an interesting play on words, psychobabble. I mean, clearly there's something going on. But what the word means to me is like some sort of confusion. And I feel that it may be a rich idea to look at, you know, the evolving foundation for just a moment, so that we would have a basis of operation.
That's perfect. I was feeling that earlier. You're talking about back on page 4. I had mentioned that. Thank you.
Yeah. So this foundation is like, there's so much psychobabble going on with religion, mysticism, science, art, spirituality, and it's like it here. I need a foundation. So, Verena, would you be willing to take us through number one?
Certainly. Well, we're on page 18 where we just talked about it.
No, we're on page 4.
Oh, my apologies. Okay. So number one, communication is not what is said and done, but the result of what is said and done. Its cornerstone is honesty, which asks me to look at my results to see if there is an alignment between what I say I want and what I actually have. When there is an alignment, I am telling the truth. And an example of
all
this
right.
is...
So,
okay, go on.
Verena, I was going to ask you, thank you for where there is a lack of alignment between what you say you want and what you actually have. Where is it in your life? And as Verena asks herself that question, everyone on this call is invited to ask themselves the same question. Where is there a lack of alignment?
Okay, and one of my situations is I say I want to be more disciplined with my time, with myself, with my money, and I'm not. I clearly don't have it.
All right. So you're not telling the truth about I want to be disciplined.
Apparently not, even though it's a
okay.
good story.
All right. So take us to number two.
Mm-hmm. Energy follows mind until there's no mind to follow. I first create my, that's in quotes, reality via a belief. It becomes an emotion. It turns into an action.
Okay. So, and again, continue that process with Verena. So when you attach to the thought, I should be disciplined and you're not, then what do you feel?
I feel incompetent.
Okay. And when you feel incompetent, what do you do?
Well, I get nervous.
But that's still a feeling. What do you do when you're nervous and incompetent?
When I'm nervous and incompetent, I start to get even more distracted. Start to even act out because I'm feeling bad about myself.
Got it. Okay. You act out. All right. So, number three.
Inquiry is the courage to reveal the agendas that conceal the understanding I seek to, quote, receive. When I do, I naturally realign to my intuition.
All right. So you said that the action, which is what is going to create results, is that you act out. So why someone want to act out? Just the first thing that comes to your mind.
Fear.
Fear
of responsibility.
Okay. So the reason that I don't want to be disciplined and I'm resisting discipline is because I'm afraid of the responsibility. I'd much rather act out. Okay. So you can see how we're deepening and deepening. So now the question would be, okay, I understand that I'm afraid of discipline. Well, what do I do with that? So go to number four.
Geometry. Geometry is a measure of the earth. It gives a sixth base code to the body-mind connection by which to sense and embody wisdom in the now.
Okay. So we're going to skip over the agreements. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
for taking us through this already, and
mm-hmm.
go into the sacredness of geometry.
Sacredness, number six, sacredness allows me to persevere to the end, as I now can see a form of inquiry that is radical enough for me to trust.
All right.
Read after next.
Okay. So where we were was, okay, I know I'm afraid of being responsible. I know I act out. I know I'm in a lie. And so how do I get past that? And now I go to page 6, and I see this sacred geometry known as the seed of life. And would you read what's to the left of that geometry, if you would, Verena?
Okay. Page 6. Since the way I use words is how I create my world, it is the word that is and was created in 6, quote, days. This evolution allows me to include multidimensional perspectives and thus to resolve conflict. It is shown here as a seed of life and also known as the Genesis pattern.
Okay. So what could be a different perspective on I'm afraid of responsibility? Anybody?
Afraid to grow, afraid to change.
All right. Good. So we have enough to enter what's awaiting us on page 20. On page 6, if you would, just tie the geometry to the two lines. The two lines of colors is basically the geometry. Same thing, it's just viewed in a condensed manner that is easier to manage on a page. But those are the 6 days by which any word is created. And so let's take your fear of growing up and of being responsible on page 20. And Emilio, I mean, Michael, Glenn, Belinda, any comments on what Verena did and what we explored thus far? How does that touch you?
It's very powerful. I find it very powerful, and it operationalizes and makes clear or ties it all together in terms of a real practical way to take that evolving aspect into a form to see how that plays out, to understand the depth of that foundation and how it all matches up, lines up, and feeds onto one another, builds upon and expands, and also how it looks in a geometrical form, because when you look at the words on page 6, you see the same thing, but it's just an explanation in a previous page to show that geometry and the beauty of it.
Beautiful.
And thank you, Verena, for your willingness and courage to speak out and do that.
Mm-hmm.
How about anybody else?
This is Michael. One comment. You know, what I'm present to is just how potent of a conversation we're in right now. And the potency is masked by a simplicity. There is an utter simplicity to being enlightened. Be here now, you know? It's like smile and love your neighbor. That's basically the bottom line. And as I heard the potency of both the executive summary, so to speak, and Verena's, combined with Verena's willingness, I mean, that touches me, that Verena would just like let it all hang out in the way that you spoke it, because that's really, and the vision that came up was this large cauldron of mud that's being stirred by this wand that's enabling the mud to dissolve, and there is an order to it, and so I'm touched by potency, and I'm looking forward to our chat tonight. Great job, Maha.
Oh, thank you. Thank you much. And it's a teamwork. It's a teamwork. And it's true, having something, you know, on which we can play. Like, in other words, I'm saying I want to be disciplined, and yet I end up acting out. Okay. So there's something I'm not understanding here. What is going on? Because I know that energy follows me. And granted that each of us on this call have an amazing courage to go in and look for the missing part, what really touches me about this is how eternal and ever-present this geometry and those 6 days become. Because, you know, it's like, yeah, the world was created in 6 days, and then on the first day there was this, and the second day there was this, and the third day there was that. I mean, that's a nice story. But how is that helping me? And it's like that what may be one of the most ancient writing could actually make such a practical sense when it is viewed into the sacredness of the measure of the earth. Like, what is it? What is the result of my communication? What is the manifestation of my action? That's my earth. And so here I am on earth acting out, and I have a huge amount of compassion for you, Verena, and for the me that is not having my results. And I want to understand, damn it, what is going on earth that I can't act, have my act together. And if you're like me, my ego is going to say, yes, but. It's like whatever technology is offered, my ego is going to say, yes, but. And what I love about this technology is that it refers to a shape that has been in existence for 20,000 years, that is present on the 5 continent, and that is the decoding of the first chapter and the second chapter of the Hebrew Bible. So that really limits my yes, but. And so when I look at all of that, then I can enter the twin mission of page 20 and understand, okay, religion has 6 aspects, science has 6 aspects, maybe I can get somewhere there. So, Emilia, would you take us to page 20?
Yes, indeed. And I'm looking at, I'm just vibrating with the comment that you made that there's something that I'm not understanding here. So whether, and you had invited us each to do and follow along with Verena, but there, you know, there's something that I'm not understanding here. So when I think about the piece that I was reflecting on and I go to the mission of XPR, Expire, is to reveal the inherent order in the chaos of knowledge. And I'll stop there because that implies to me then, based on what you said from the Evolving Foundation, that there's something that I'm not understanding here, which then implies that there is to that I don't need to get all bent out of shape and good in the judgment about the fact that there's something I'm not understanding here. But I can come to a place of, because I know that there's an inherent order in whatever that may appear to be chaos. So, I mean, I'm saying that the first part for me is understanding that the mission of Expire, XPR, is to reveal the inherent order in that chaos of knowledge. And that goes back to the original piece that says that there may have been a global event that wiped out some of my memory and left a gap in my knowledge. And so I'll stop there and see how you respond to that in thoughts and comments.
Yeah, well, this is Michael. The point that I hear out of this connects so cleanly to shame. When, you know, it's like this idea that somehow I did something wrong and I can't admit it, I can't see it, I can't put my finger on it. And to recognize that there's an inherent order in the chaos of my acting out in whatever way I do it is affirming and loving. And to me, it connects to really such a broad receiving of what it means to be on a path. So that touches me.
Yeah, yeah. Any other thoughts? Because this is a very powerful arena.
Yeah, and for me, it kind of brings in the cosmic side. It's like, cool. Half the time, I don't even know that there's something I don't understand because I'm believing my outside is what's real. So once again, that there could be actually some order, inherent order, is tremendously intriguing.
Yeah, it's amazing to perceive chaos in anything. And to come to a place of understanding and knowing that there's an inherent order in it all. And I'll just go with the second part of the line, and then we can come back to this. But it's when I perceive that there's a universal code to hearing and seeing the soul of perennial truths, the visible and the invisible and the visible merge, and the hunger for love is satiated. Integrity is naturally embodied, and an aware civilization emerges. But it starts with me, one, coming out of that judgment that there's something wrong with this chaos of knowledge and not being able to perceive that there's actually inherent order there and that there's a universal code where I can hear and see the soul of the perennial truths that permeate that. And it's at that point when I do that which is visible and invisible merge. And it's that gap between the religion and science, Maha, that you were saying, the space in between, that nexus that causes the hunger for love to be satiated when I no longer look outside myself for anything and accept that I am all and that it's all within me. And that's the only way to be in integrity. And it's when I can do that and take care of me because there's no one but me that an aware civilization emerges because that emerges within me. That's just the way this has touched me. And I've read this so many times, but there's almost like there's a condition is inherent with here that when I perceive that there's a universal code to hearing. And I started off this evening on the show to saying I was sensing, which was allowing me to hear.
You know what I wonder is, and thank you, Emilio, that's quite beautiful. What I wonder is if we accept that Verena's hunger for discipline, okay? Would you say that's accurately spoken, Verena? I'm hungry for discipline.
Yes.
So the hunger for love, you know, maybe for some is companionship, maybe for some is whatever it may be, food. The hunger. In this case, for discipline, being, having it satiated is like being enough, having enough. And we have to do this. We have the fractal of religion and science. So taking that hunger for discipline. Glenn, would you say that this is something important for you, discipline?
Discipline has always been one of the most important things to me.
Yeah. And Belinda, and it's okay if you do not choose to respond, but would you say that there's a hunger for discipline in one aspect of your life as well?
I think she may be gone.
I believe she got disconnected.
Got it. Got it. So taking that hunger, Verena, would you roll a die for all of us and see where you land in the fractal of religion versus science?
Would love to.
Thanks. Five. Did you say five?
I said five.
So what does that mean for you, good and evil? How does that connect to your hunger for discipline?
Well, there's a, either something's good or something is bad or evil. So it's very cut dry. So if I'm not disciplined, I must be evil.
Yeah. Either or.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyone else discipline and good and evil?
Yeah, I can. I relate to what you're saying, Verena. That makes a lot of sense to me as well.
Yeah. And where I go to with this is you also tied it to growing up. And so I wonder if growing up is evil. Like too many responsibility and staying where I am is good and vice versa. But the part that's missed is the end. It's like you're either on one side or the other. All right.
Well, I'm getting a reality check here. I'm thinking we were so disciplined growing up that I may have developed an aversion to it, but I actually have a hunger for it as a result.
There you go. That's the link. Yeah. The shoulds, huh? The shoulds are so potent, I don't even know what I want anymore.
That's what I don't want.
Yeah. 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 Well. All right. So, anybody else on that? Or, interesting. So, Michael, would you take us through the mission of empowering now?
Sure, my pleasure. The mission of empowering now. Are you hearing the echo?
Nope.
Yeah, I can.
Okay. So maybe you can do it, Amelia.
It's all good, Verena. I can hear an echo on mine too. The only voice that does not have an echo is Maha.
Interesting. That's the first. All right. So the mission of Empowering Now LLC is to bring forth the path of expire as a way to transition from a world mainly in greed, where giving, receiving communicates by way of fear, confusion, and domination, to a world of grace, where my word flows freely from the silence and the sounds of love. I will tell you what touches me in this is how much in greed I have been, and how much in greed I still am, where I'm so afraid at times of the results of my communication, you know. And I find that fascinating, that that would indicate that I'm afraid of the places where I want to be dominant. And so as long as I can remain undisciplined, then at least if I'm not succeeding, then I don't have to question my desire to play small or overpower the other. Same. I don't have to question my misuse of power. I can just beat up upon myself because I'm not disciplined enough. And I'm just sharing my own shadow here. You know, I'm not intending, I'm not implying anything about you, Verena. I'm just saying, it's my game. That's what I do.
Yeah, and it becomes an easier way out or excuse, because then I can avoid dealing with any of the shadow behind any of that and turn it into an excuse and just say, I'm just not disciplined.
Right.
And leave it at that.
That's it.
And to leave it at that, that's a joke. So then someone could come up, quote unquote, well, let's give you a plan, a 3-step plan on how to become more disciplined. That's all crap. Because it's not dealing with the shadow that allows the not being disciplined to take the place of the excuse. Or take the place
that's
as
exactly
excuse. That,
right.
Yeah, that's what's speaking to me. And so in anything else, it's not bringing the light to that. So this is a great example that I'm not disciplined, which we all can. And then what we do is we make, and I'll speak for me, I make New Year's resolutions. I say I'm not going to do it again. I say, and it's like somebody asked me the other day, how many times did you quit smoking?
Yeah.
You know, I just,
right,
you know, but I can use it as an excuse. I'm just not disciplined. I'll get it together one day. And it's what it is. There's an inquiry. That's what we're saying here, is there's an inquiry that allow me to do the shadow work, to allow me to see where along this spectrum, not being disciplined, I've chosen to allow that to be something to hide behind. Because that's acceptable to everybody. I'm just not disciplined. Look at the world. Thank you,
yeah.
Maha. That makes a lot of sense.
And you know, I would even go as far as saying that discipline is my natural state. Like, that's what I do when I stop hiding. Like, I'm naturally loving. I eat the right thing naturally. I know when to stop eating naturally. I know when to move the body naturally. I know when to go to sleep naturally. I'm just covering my nature, which is to be love. And all of that is because I have an agenda of domination. And whether my style of domination is to withhold or whether it is to attack, it's still an agenda of domination.
Mm-hmm.
And I never quite felt empowering now mission to that degree. You know, up to now, it was letting me be seduced by, you know, the flow of the words of love and the silence. And it's very poetic and it's very beautiful. But the part that really touches me is like, wow, I'm into domination. And I never quite saw it to that degree. So how does that touch you? Thank you, Michael.
Michael, yeah, the topic of discipline is important. You know, where I grew up, there is this forced sense of discipline, the disciplinarian that tells you what to do and you do it out of following the instructions. And what I'm hearing and feeling, more importantly, what I'm feeling about discipline connects to what you were just saying. Yeah, it's I need to sleep in today, I sleep in. I need to work out today, I work out. And there is a naturalness that comes when I've done enough shadow work to abide in the living word, which says eat, sleep, drink, sex, what have you, in its own natural rhythm. And
yeah,
that's really what we're looking at, becoming primary. And so I'm deeply touched by that. And also knowing when not to speak. This silence is really important to me at this time in my life, to ensure that my words are flowing from the silence.
Yeah, and even that is natural. There's no forms of discipline. There's no need to ensure anything.
Correct.
I mean, yeah, in my listening of it, it's like, I'm going to be silent. When I'm going to be silent, I'm going to be speaking. When I'm going to be speaking, and there's no dominating of that. And my attempt to dominate it, whether it is that I'm speaking or silent, still indicates that I'm into domination. I'm playing like a mistress trip on my own self. When I know it well, you should shut up. It's like, oh my God, do I have that one? And the other one, you should speak. Same, it's hell. Both of them are hell.
Yeah, you know what else I'm seeing here, which I find amazing, is the increments of how this is written. So we have, earlier we talked about flight, fight, freak, or freeze. And so when I look at this continuum here, and I'm looking at it as a continuum, like where the world mainly in greed, where giving and receiving communicates by way of fear, confusion, domination. Those are the three. If I was to look at three poles, fear is on one side, confusion is in the middle, and domination is the other extreme. So I can be afraid and freeze or flight. I can be confused and freak, or I can go into domination and fight. And so in that, in the midst of that, there's one, fear is going to hold me at one particular place, and my greed is going to have me doing, or I can play dumb and confused in the middle, and that becomes a tactic, or my other tactical strategy could be in domination. So I'm just looking at this in a really different way, and which one is my tactic in most situations. The case, I go through them all. The fear, and then the confusion is a nice, easy way out and play dumb, but then I can go right into domination because that's what I want. Yeah, this is it's very powerful, and we're talking about it coupling with the word expire.
The word expire.
To flow freely.
Flow freely.
It takes some work. It's some serious shadow work to come to that light and that understanding. And that's what we're talking about doing.
And
continuing to come together to explore and create opportunities to do that.
Yeah, and I'm hearing the word transition.
you know, to bring forth the path of expire. You know, when someone passes, we speak of them as having transitioned. That's what we're doing for the collective ego body. We're creating and generating a way to transition out of this ego orientation and to allow that to die peacefully into a world that's inspired out of the felt sense of love. And that's coming from our shadow work that we do so we can understand how we rob ourselves from being the expressions that we all know deep down that we are. Love.
Amen.
Right. So, Lorena, would you engage us with the bottom paragraph to read that as we come to a close?
Sure. This is referring to toe.
Amen.
Okay. So referring to toe from the science, a toe is for theory of everything, is a master theory that offers a coherent theoretical framework that fully explains and links together all physical aspects of the universe. It is one of the major unsolved problems in physics, as above, so below. Finding a toe or T-O-E may just be eased by the decoding of metaphysics. And by the way, the toe or theory of everything is in contrast to the laws, where I think it has to be a certain way. It has to be this way or else. And theory of everything embraces all of it.
Amen. Anything in there particularly touch you, Bryn?
Keeping it wide open.
Amen.
The coherent part, just keeping it open.
Yeah. Well, what's really standing out to me, and as I'm listening to this, and I'm listening and hearing me speak, I'm being encouraged to explore our fractals and look at the word domination and what that has for me. And expiration is on the opposite side of domination, in one way, in terms of my own personality's wants. But I'm going to find that very interesting. So what I'm taking away this evening is a little bit more clarity on domination and how that plays out. And I'm going to do further inquiry on that and perhaps bring that up in my conversation with you and Maha when we're together. So we'll see what that unveils. How about the rest of you? What is that? What's the takeaway for you?
This is Michael. I'm feeling very gentle. I'm in touch with the bigness of the hypothesis and the recognition of a language that lives in me and you and all. And very grateful. Thank you.
Thank you. Verena? It might be on mute, Lorena.
I'm moved by the concept that there is an inherent order within me, and the discipline is there when I let myself open to this much wider way of being in the world.
Amen. And Glenn, if you would move closer to your phone, what's the takeaway for you? What's something that you walk away with this evening?
Main thing I'm walking away with, and it's such a bad echo. The main thing I'm walking away with this evening is just a feeling that it good to be back in the presence of the Borg, and to be able to bring all in, communicate with it.
Amen to that, Glenn.
Amen. Yep.
You know, Michael, could you tell me what Glenn said, because I couldn't hear him fully, and I really would like to hear what he said.
Gratitude
Michael,
for being with
you.
All of us.
Got it. Well, thank you, Glenn. I so appreciate you would be here with us. For me, what I'm taking away, it's like I was looking at this fractal and looking at what's going on with space-time versus good and evil, you know, and I couldn't quite make sense of it. And then it started making sense when you spoke of transition, Michael. And it's sort of like what I started feeling was like a shift from space and time in the fabric of space and time, and the space and time where I'm afraid into the space and time when I am confident. And so like moving in between the good and the evil. So that's the transition that I'm living with, and I'm most grateful for this session.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. And, you know, just to thank guests out there, and Laura and others who are listening in, be blessed, and we will be together again on Sunday, I believe, at 12 noon Eastern. 11 Central on Empowering Now Radio Blog Talk. And thank you each for joining us. And have a blessed evening. And
good night. Thank you, everyone. High, you know how I feel.
Bye.
In the sky, you know how I feel. Yep.
Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me.